Okay. Hare Krishna, everybody. Thank you for coming. Before I begin, as always, Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this little talk is about meditation in Krishna consciousness, and we're going to do it from the angle of Vandanam. But the introduction is kind of generic about meditation, although it does talk about prayer in relationship to japa. We're going to go through the five P's for improved japa. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. Ever fresh. I think we can go through again. And one of those P's is prayer to improve our japa. So maybe you heard this before, but I think some haven't, so we'll go through this part, and then we have a second part that is new. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So what is meditation for devotees? Srila Prabhupada says, meditation means to achieve a state in which the mind is saturated with God consciousness and always thinking of God. So before we proceed, just to recall, when you read the Bhagavad Gita, there are so many statements in which Krishna talks about absorbing the mind in him. I think I've gone through some of those. Let's see. Will this work? Here we go. So in our nine processes, we heard that verse by Prahlad, Shravanam, Kirtano, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakya, Madhuri. And Vandanam is the theme for the weekend. So really, these are not mutually exclusive processes. We hear and we chant, and we remember. But that doesn't mean that when you're chanting, you're not remembering, or when you're hearing, you're not remembering. You see? Certainly Vandanam, we mentioned the three aspects of that, the obeisances, the glorification, the prayer. They also involve remembering and hearing and chanting. So they're mutually supportive, complementary. So in our discipline of bhakti yoga, those nine, amongst the nine, smaranam is commonly identified with meditation, remembrance. But that remembrance, when it becomes very deep and focused, that's commonly called meditation. So we have this verse, smartavyaksatatam vishnu vismartavyo najatu chit. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now that may sound like the same thing, but it's not. Because remembering Krishna, this is itself an act of the intelligence. And never forget it means don't do those things that will help you to forget Krishna. That's also something that to do. So it's the vidhi and the shada. Vidhi and, you've heard of these rules and regulations? So oftentimes rules and regulations, that's more or less the same thing. But in Prabhupada's vocabulary, I think rules are the do's and regulations are the don'ts. Just like we have the four regs, the things you don't do. And the rules are the things that we do. So therefore, in this verse, the verse continues, sarva vidhi nisheda sur eti oreva kinkana. This is the rest of smartavyakta, which means that all of the rules and regulations, all of the do's and don'ts, are servants of these two. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is meant to bring us to the point of complete absorption and remembering Krishna constantly. That's the internal motive or the goal that we have. Externally, just as Lord Chaitanya had two lines, right? The external and the internal reason why he came. So internally, as Krishna, he wanted to experience himself from the point of view of Srimati Radharani. And to that end, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya with the complexion and the mood of Srimati Radharani. When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see that. And much of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in the Antilita, describes that, relishing Krishna consciousness at the highest levels from the perspective of Srimati Radharani. But he also had this external reason in order to spread the Sankirtan movement, to deliver the fallen souls. And that's also very prominent. So similarly, we have our own internal and external aspects of our devotional life. And it's important to understand that. When we come to Krishna consciousness, it's all, we want to advance. We want to be Krishna conscious. We've read about the benefits and we experience some of it as we go on. But as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we realize that there's another track that is not mutually exclusive, that's complementary, and that is giving Krishna consciousness to others, isn't it? So there's always these two things. And here, this Smartavya and Satatam Vishnu and Vismartavya in the Jatachit. So we do things to remember Krishna, we chant the holy name, we come to the temple, we read books, we worship the deity. And the other side is to avoid those things that help us forget Krishna. And that's why you see, for instance, in the Upadeshamrita, you'll find very practical instructions. What are those things that are? Blockages. Atyahara, Priyasascha, Prajalpo, Niyamagraha. These are all things that make it more difficult to remember Krishna and practice devotional service. Over-collecting material things, overeating, passionate desire to get something. Prakasha means, Atyahara Priyasascha. Priyasha means very hard effort for material things. Talking nonsense, reading or hearing and repeating things that have nothing to do with Krishna. Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha meaning has a twofold meaning. One is to slack off on the regulations of devotional life, not be so serious about chanting 16 rounds and all the different things. That's Niyamagraha. And another kind of Niyamagraha is to go through, do those things, but only in a superficial way, going through the motions, so to speak, without your heart really into it. You see? That's also Niyamagraha. Association with non-devotees and strong desire or greed for material things, laulyam. These are impediments. So we try to avoid those. But then there are the positive things. Maharaj mentioned them this morning. No, I'm sorry. This isn't the Prabhupada lecture. Prabhupada was talking about them in his lecture this morning when got up. Utsahan nishtayat daryat tattad karma pavartanat sangat yagat sato vritte shabhi bhakti prasidyati. We should know this Upadeshamrita. And enthusiasm determination and patience. In what? In the matter of what? Tattad karma pavartanat. In the matter of doing all of the things that we know we're supposed to do in Krishna consciousness. And be enthusiastic, determined, and patient. In other words, we're enthusiastic, but if you're not determined and patient, that enthusiasm is just a flash in the pan. Right? Sometimes we see people may come to the temple, dance like crazy in Artik, yes, 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 but then you don't see them again for another month or year. Isn't it? There's something there, but it's not serious. So patience and determination over time, giving up bad association, and following in the footsteps of acharyas or great devotees. So these are the vidhi and the shedha. Vidhi and the shedha. And both sides have to be there. Do's and the don'ts. So similarly, everything is subsumed in this little formula here. Always remember Krishna. Never forget him. Now, this is some samples Krishna is talking about. Ananya Cheta Satatam in the Bhagavad Gita means to always remember me without deviating. Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, same thing. Maya Veshimano Yemam. There's so many phrases like that. So we have to remember that this is a yoga process, and yoga means absorbing the mind in the object of meditation. And for us, of course, the object is Krishna. And that's what this is all about, meditation, of really focusing the mind. So now let's go on. Oh, sorry. Hare Krishna. So hearing and chanting, this is our main process of meditation, foundation of our Krishna consciousness. And hearing and chanting leads to remembrance of Krishna. I don't know, did I do the Krishna Katashtaka last year? I don't think I did. All right, I'm going to mention a few of these because at the very end of the Bhagavatam, it's very interesting, this in the 12th canto, I don't think I can give you the exact references. In the 13th chapter, try text 48. Sutta Goswami is winding up all of his instructions to the sages at Naimisharanya. He's just spoken the whole Bhagavatam, which he heard from Shukadev. And it's interesting that he repeats verses that were recounted in the fifth chapter of the first canto, Narada Muni's instructions to Vyasadeva. Now these instructions to Vyasadeva are so important because Narada Muni's instructions then inspire Vyasadeva to sit in meditation and meditate on Krishna and be inspired to actually write the whole Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni is talking there about, he says to his disciple Vyasadeva, you're feeling unsatisfied because you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna and his devotional service and his devotees. You've written so many other books that have kind of danced around the little boundary of this, and you mentioned it, but to really give the deep explanation, you haven't done. So he tells him, Nayad vachas chitta padang hare yasho. Some of you may know this. This is this famous, those words that do not glorify Krishna, who can purify the whole world, are like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Is it? Bhagavatam is, after all, words. What he's giving us is the pilgrimage for swans. That is what this Bhagavatam is. This is where the devotees want to place their minds. So, and although it might be very perfectly composed, very attractive materially, that the sages, they don't go there because it's contaminating for the mind. Rather, wherever Achyuta is being glorified, that's where you find the swan-like devotees. And then this famous verse, Tad Bhagva Sargo Janataga Viplavo. This verse was quoted by Prabhupada in his preface, which means that it was inspiring to him to write the Bhagavatam and start the whole movement. This verse is essential. Those words which bring about a revolution in the misdirected materialistic civilization because they glorify Krishna. Even though every verse is miscomposed, even though it doesn't have so much literary skill, which Prabhupada admitted to his, in his preface there. Still, the wise souls will accept it and chant it and hear it. So, those verses are repeated by Sutta at the very end of the Bhagavatam. And Vishnu Chakravarti says, this is like a bracket for the Bhagavatam. It's important that they're in both sides. So what he's describing there is the process of hearing and chanting. And he talks about Sankirtan. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Shutana Bhavo Vasananya Pungso Pavishya Chittam Vidanoti Shesham Yatatamoko Brahmavati Vata. Is that when, this is his last instruction, always very important. It says, when someone chants nicely, Sankirtyamano, or hears Shutana Bhavo, the power, powerful pastimes and name and form of Krishna, then Krishna enters the heart. We know he's already there, but he manifests there. And he cleanses away all of the impurities in the heart. Just like the sun rising dissipates the darkness, or a powerful wind will dissipate the fog. Sound familiar? We heard that in this first canto. Shunvatam Sukata Krishna. As soon as you hear about Krishna, Krishna in the heart, he starts purifying the impurities. So, he goes on describing the glories of hearing and chanting. And then he talks about what's the result. What's the main result of this hearing and chanting? Is constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And what's the benefit of this remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet? There's a verse. This is the eighth verse in the Krishna Katashtaka. I called it the Krishna. It happened to be eight verses that glorify hearing and chanting. It says, constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna Bhadarabindayos, what is it? Satam? You know it? 12. Avismriti. Thank you, Guru. Avismriti means non-forgetfulness. Avismriti Krishna Bhadarabindayo, Chinotya Bhadrani, Chashantanoti, Sattvasya Shuddhim, Padamatma Bhaktim, Jnanam, Chivigyana Viraga Yuktam. So this non-forgetfulness or constant remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, which comes from serious hearing and chanting, has all of these salutary effects. Chinoti Bhadrani, all of your abhadras, all of the inauspicious things in the heart, the lust, the greed, the fear, the anger, the material desires, the doubts, all of that is destroyed. And Shantanoti, Santanoti means that your good fortune is furthered by this. Your existence becomes purified. Sattvasya Shuddhim and Paramatma Bhakti, you become devoted to the Supreme Soul, Krishna, which is characterized, this bhakti, as with jnana, vijnana, and vairagya, with knowledge, realized knowledge, and detachment. In other words, that's the final state, all from hearing and chanting. So this constant remembrance, in full absorption, this is one thing that we should strive for. And we experience every morning when we chant japa, how difficult that is to be fully absorbed. So we're going to deal with some of the ways of improving japa. And that are the five P's. I dubbed them the five P's. So we're going to go through each one of these. And then we'll get down to this specific focus on vandanam. So preparation, posture, pronunciation, prayer, and purity. All of these, if we can improve in these, then our japa will improve. So let's go through each one of them. So preparation. Now, so much of Krishna consciousness discipline involves getting up early. If you just get up early enough, where either can come to the temple for Mangalartik or have a nice healthy program at home in your corner of your domicile where it's like a temple, whatever, which you should have, we'll deal with that also. Then that changes your whole life, isn't it? It's getting up early. If you can't get up early enough to do some sadhana in the morning, then it's very difficult to think of Krishna. That's why the early hours are so important, the Brahma Muhurta, etc. So that means early to bed, which is very good, because most of the nonsense we do is happening late at night. So if you get up early to bed, then it automatically cuts that off, and then in the morning, you're ready to go. 3 o'clock, 3:30, maybe 4 o'clock, whatever you can manage. Make early to bed, early to rise makes a devotee blissful and wise. This is a statement originally written by Benjamin Franklin, I think. Maybe it was a little different, I think, something. So then you want to have a sacred place in your domicile, whether it's an apartment or a home or a house, whatever. Clean, quiet, free of distractions, have an altar. There's nothing else in that corner that goes on, or that room, hopefully, but Krishna. The pictures are all of Krishna. There's a little altar. It's very clean. And as soon as you walk in there, just as you walk in the temple, you think of Krishna. Oh, there's nothing else but Krishna going on here. It automatically uplifts the mind and prepares the mind for sadhana. And then be Krishna conscious before taking rest. So much of our life is spent sleeping and dreaming. Well, we can't completely control that, but we can affect somewhat of what goes on there. And if you read Krishna book or something else, or have a nice kirtan before you take rest, chant around, then who knows, maybe you'll dream of Krishna. You know, that's the best thing. It prepares you for the next morning. This is the idea. Use our intelligence if we really want to be Krishna conscious. So that's preparation the night before. Then posture. Posture is important. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one should hold one's body, neck and head erect in a straight line. Not so easy for half an hour, 1 hour and so forth. That's why I recommend the Zafu. You see me with that little pillow? It's a physiological truth that if you're up a little bit, your backside is up a little bit, and your knees are lower than your waist, that it's much easier to keep your back straight. We shouldn't say, well, that's a material thing. Oh, what do we... Yeah, we have those little... It's the same idea with the blue brick cushions. If you like sitting on a brick, I like sitting on a cushion. The Zafu is very useful. They make them with beach balls inside that you can travel with. If you're traveling, you know, you just blow it down, you can put it in your suitcase and blow it up when you get there. That's what I have. In any case, when the body, neck, and head in a straight line, if you have to sit on a chair, your knees may not allow, fine. But that straightness helps you to concentrate. That's all. It helps you to concentrate. Do you know that in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, there's some recommendation there, you probably read it, for pranayama. Pranayama. Not to, you know, attain some siddhi, but simply to quiet the mind so that you can more easily think of Krishna. So these things are all, we can employ what we need to do for that. So we have preparation, posture, and pronunciation. This is a quote from Prabhupada. I'm not moving along. There we have the pronunciation. Quote, this is from the Adi Lila, chapter 17. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and the tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. This is Srila Prabhupada from the CC, as I mentioned. So clearly at this point Prabhupada is experiencing some of his disciples chanting. And it's a simple process. My experience is that the more you're paying attention, the more you'll be attentive to the pronunciation. If you're slurring, it means that your mind is probably wandering, you know. And this is why I mentioned earlier how if you remember, oh, this sound, this name is actually Krishna. Bindat vannama namino, that there's no separation between the sound and Krishna. Oh, then how can I just mispronounce the name? Why should I let my mind wander? If you invite Radha and Krishna, Kishore, to come into your home, then wouldn't you, if they actually arrive, they knock on the door and come in, are you going to pay attention to them or not? If Kishore came off the altar and came down here, would we all be, say, excuse me, I have something to do, I have to prepare? So, of course not. We would be completely enthralled and pay full attention. So we're inviting Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna, into our hearts by chanting Hare Krishna. So we should pay full attention. Think like that. Then, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Another note that from my own experience is that I know sometimes think, okay, I'm paying attention. But I'm really paying attention to Krishna. Now Hare, not so much. And Rama, second. You see? Actually, every single syllable, of those 32 syllables, if you pay attention, if you focus on the Hare's, then you almost have to focus on the Krishnas and the Ramas. Try it sometime. This, next time you chant your japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Another thing to note, just like you heard me chant all these shlokas, Sanskrit is a highly developed chanda. Chanda is the rhythm, is the beat. Every verse has a rhythm to it. Most of the verses we read, like in the Bhagavad Gita or even the Bhagavatam, are in this anushtup meter, means it's eight syllables per line, and a certain rules apply. You know how man mana bhava man bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mamai vaishasi satyam te patijane priyosi me. So there are certain rules that apply there. The Hare Krishna mantra is not one of those anushtup. It has an unusual meter, but there is a meter to it, and it's good if you know that, so that you give each word its full value. So it's not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's a common way we chant. But it's actually, and if you listen to Prabhupada, he's chanting this way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see that? Get the full value for the Hare, and as well as for the Krishna, Hare Krishna. As a far out meter. So try to remember that. That'll help you concentrate also. And pronunciation, very important. Now, on that topic of pronunciation, a few of my favorite mispronunciations, if I could share them with you. We have a comment here. How we chant properly? Oh, a 5-minute round. Don't try to squeeze that in yet. You know, I'm sorry, I need the mic, and maybe we can do some of the acoustics next year. It's difficult for me to hear. Okay, what was the question? Somehow I can hear you, Nityananda Prabhu, better than anybody.
He says, Prabhupada's japa takes 8 minutes.
Uh-huh.
How does it sound like
Yes, it's obviously it's faster. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That may be five and a half. It's five is very fast. If you can do six, you're doing something. You know, then if you measure that 6 times 16, that's 96 minutes, right? That's a pretty good clip. You know, an hour and a half, that's about what you have here for japa, isn't it? A little more. So you should be able to do it like that. But don't speed up if you can't hear. You know, go at the clip that you can go, that you can actually hear everything. Now, I just wanted to focus on a few mispronunciations. Maybe it'll do some good. So the first one, I think I sure shared with you, a bunch of kalpata drubhishtha. Did you all get that one? So a bunch of kalpata drubhishtha. But let's analyze what vanchakalpa means. So vanchaka means the cheater, and opa means small, okay? So vanchakalpa tarubhischa means a small cheating tree. I bow my obeisance to the devotees who are like small cheating trees. We don't want to do that. So think of the meaning. The word is vancha. Everybody say vancha. Vancha kalpatarubhischa. Then you have the desire tree and everything is okay. Okay? Another favorite is the Blessed Mangalartik song, the Guruvashtaka. Now, the most serious of these, of the mispronunciations I hear, because after all, there's a meaning to all these, is Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasya Prasada Nagati Katobi. Does that sound right? You see the problem there? So let's think of the meaning. This is one of the themes we're going to get into, and we're going to go over this Guruvashtaka, each one. Is that there's meaning and there's grammar. You know, grammar is what you learn first in the Eastern culture, in India. Because grammar is the structure of language by which the meaning is conveyed. Now, I'm an editor, so I'm very sensitive to, you know, the English grammar. If the grammar is off, then the meaning is not conveyed. It's confused. So the same thing with Sanskrit. So we don't have to all learn Sanskrit grammar. But at least the verses that are so important for us, we should know how they work. So it's simple. It's really simple, this verse. Yasya prasarat bhagavat prasaro. Yasya prasarat, I think, bhagavat prasaro. So yasya, who's? You're speaking about the guru. You see? So if you get the prasad, the grace, the mercy of the guru, then you get Bhagavan's mercy. Automatically comes. Bhagavat prasada. And the next line, it divided to yasya aprasadan nagati kutopihi. Okay? So the word aprasadan means just the opposite of prasad. You can say the non-mercy. In other words, the lack of mercy. If you get the lack of mercy, in other words, if you don't get the mercy, then there's no, nagati kutopi. This is such an important phrase. The word gati. Gati means the goal or the means to the goal. In both of the songs we sing every morning to the guru, Sri Guru Vandana, later on, the word gati appears. And in both cases, it means not the goal, but the means to the goal. And you see why it's so important. Going back to, so yasya aprasara nagati kutopi. If you don't get the mercy, there's no means. There's no way that you can advance in devotional service. That's the meaning there. And it comes out in the translation. But in order for it to actually mean what we want it to mean, you have to say yasya prasadam, not yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. You see that? Yasya aprasadam becomes yasya prasadam. So next time you sing it or hear it, the person singing may not have been in this class and may sing it, but just think of it that way. And when you sing it and say it, say yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. Yasya prasadam. The tendency is for the long A's to become short A's because we're lazy. But the long A's should stay long because the meaning is totally different. Just like Shastra and Shastra. What's the meaning of Shastra, Jai Jagannath? Shastra? The weapon, right? And what's the meaning of Shastra? We all know, right? So you can't confuse those two. But they have the same root, Shas. Prabhupada brings this out in the lecture. These Sanskrit words, they have these little root syllables, you know, that the meaning is all built on. So the root is shas, which means to control. So you can agree to be controlled by the shastra, Right? That's very good. Or you'll be controlled by the shastra, the weapons, all the weapons that Kali has, right? The material energy. And the word shishya also has that root. You agree to be controlled by the spiritual master. That has the same root as shas. So Sanskrit is very wonderful. Now, a couple of more mispronunciations in the Guru Vashtaka. Small ones, but they can be annoying. The word with sakshat bhiritvena samasta shastraya uktastadha bhavyata eva sadbi. The word is sadbi, not sadbi. We're thinking sadhu, but it's not. It's sadbi means the devotees who are sat. So it's sadbi, not sadbi. Small one. And then the other one you usually hear is, not so much anymore, but it used to be, the few old timers who learned it this way, and you hear it this way. Chatur Vadashi Bhagavat Prasada. Svadvana triptim Haribhakta Sangan, you see? But it should be tripped on. It's the difference between satisfied and satisfaction. The triptim, he feels satisfaction in the next line. Triptim Bhagavat Bhajatapasa. He always feels that satisfaction when he sees the devotee satisfied by taking the prasadam. You see, that's we'll go through that verse. So these are a few to avoid. So back to our pronoun, but really important, the most basic thing is to pronounce each name clearly in the japa, as Prabhupada explains here. Any questions on pronunciation? Hey, Manchu Bhur?
Sometimes I hear devotees sing Ebe Jasa Gusu Tribhuvana, or sometimes Ebe Yasa Gusu Tribhuvana.
Ebe Yasa Gusu Tribhuvana, or?
Ebe. There's the Ebe Jasa or Ebe Yasa?
It's a short A. Short A, Yasha. That's Yasha. Yasha is fame. It's fame. The word is Yasha. Yasha, just like we sing in the second to last line. Dhyayam Svam Yashastri Sandhyam. Yashastri Sandhyam. It's the same word. It's fame. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Tulasi.
Yes, I'm guilty of Tulasi myself. The problem is the melody. Tulasi Krishna Prahitasi. See, what happens when it comes into the song is that sometimes the alright, you got me. Tulasi Krishna Prahitasi. I have to change the tune that I use. it's always nice, you have Ratha Yatra here, right? So then the deities, they go off the altar for a while, right? Disappear. And then you sing Jagannath Ashtaka? Sometime in the year? In Chicago here? Okay. So the rhythm for that song, does not really fit the song, you know. So, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. You know, the real Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. No one ever sings it that way. No one ever heard it that way. That's the actual meter. So sometimes when there's a song, you know, you get a little bit of distortion. But you're right. It shouldn't be Tulasi. I don't know. It's going to be tough to...
Does that happen also, like, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes in order to fit the rhythm of the kirtan, sometimes when we chant the Rama, Krishna.
You hear Krishna. You have a threefold. That could be a problem. I don't think, as long as nothing's missing, you know, if you kind of attenuate something, that's right. It's when you're missing, distort it. Okay, let's go on from pronunciation. But to pronounce right, it means you have to, you know, get into the songbook and study the pronunciation and learn what all the words mean. I'm telling you, this will deepen your experience of all of the Sanskrit and Bengali that's always flying by us. You'll actually enter into the mood of it. We're talking about prayer. The Tulsi prayer, the Tulsi song, is like, you know, it's the highest prayer. I mean, that's the prayer for becoming a Manjari, to serve Tulsi. Prabhupada gave it to us, you know. So understand the meaning of it. And it becomes a much more enlivening experience. This is how you can avoid niyamagraha, where your mind is wandering, you're going through the motions, and you not really don't have your heart in it. Because so much of what we have is coming through the words, through the Shabda Brahma. And when you put your intelligence on the words, and you really get the meaning, that's when you enter into the experience. This has been my experience. Yeah. Go ahead, Premon.
Recently, some kirtan leader here was chanting the Maha Mantra in 20 syllables.
20 syllables. That's a new record. We should try to avoid. The best thing to do, listen to some of Prabhupada's kirtans and then do just what he did. Okay? We should try to hear how Prabhupada chanted and taught us to chant rather than get off into too many side things. Okay, we want to go on because we only have a limited amount of time. So the next P in our improvement of our japa is prayer. Now, we've dealt with this before, and I'm going to read these this section again, which we read. But just to reiterate how the japa really has to be a prayer. It's simultaneously, I've always thought, like the kirtan especially, is simultaneously a prayer, a glorification, and a meditation. It's everything in one. That's why it's complete. And the japa is like that also. These three words, namely Hare Krishna and Rama, are the transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and His energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. Mother Hara helps the devotee achieve the Lord Father's grace, and the Lord reveals Himself to the devotee who chants this mantra sincerely. This is on the record album. And finally, I think the last one is purity. This is, of course, essential. The stricter we are in following the do's and don'ts of the process Srila Prabhupada gave us, the easier it will be to fix the mind on the holy name when we chant japa. So this is Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Interesting. Why is it that the mind wanders? Is it because for the rest of the time, the rest of the 24 hours before we sit down to japa, we have not been making an effort, or we've allowed ourselves to think and let the mind wander. We get affected by the modes of nature, and then those thoughts and those feelings, they come up at that time. And so the purity is the more that we can actually spend our time remembering Krishna, trying to serve Krishna, seeing our whole life, even if we're working or at home, whatever, in relationship to Krishna. Then when it comes time to just sit and do japa, which is our alone time with Krishna, if you will, then it'll be much easier to focus the mind. And then, of course, 10 offenses against the name must be avoided. And I just took 5 of them. These are the ones that I think we have the most trouble with to try to avoid. To blaspheme devotees. Doesn't just mean blaspheme pure devotees. We should be very careful and really appreciate. That's why I gave this tip this morning that was given to me. Try to find a way of glorifying the devotees. Then that nasty mood of trying to pull others down won't infect us. And will be, that's very pleasing to Krishna when you glorify his devotees. To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, that's a broad topic, probably takes everything in. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting, to maintain material attachments, and to be inattentive while chanting. So we're back to that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained the root of the other offenses is inattention. So attention is something we have some control over. Just like you can decide to focus the mind here or to focus the mind there. We do it all the time. Generally, the criteria by which you're making that decision is what is pleasing to my senses. Right? This is called sankalpa vikalpa of the mind. But by the superior intelligence, you could say, well, I'm not going to think of that. I may want to think of that, that's very pleasing to think about. Now I'm going to think about this. I'm going to think about Krishna. So that's where the strong intelligence comes. Remember we read that verse twice about how Madhavendra Puri is saying, now my higher intelligence has awoken. And so I'm rejecting these hellish desires. Well, the desires are still there, but I'm saying I'm not going to listen anymore. I'm going to focus here on Krishna. And the wonderful thing, and this is why we're all sitting here, is that as soon as you focus on Krishna a little bit, Krishna reciprocates. And there's a spiritual pleasure there, and also the desire for the other stuff slackens. That's why we can go on from day to day. The power of the mantra, of the chanting of the holy name is so great that even myself, who's completely unqualified, could be some kind of yogi. And give up all these things that people are mad after out there. We know what it's like. is that it's impossible for them to give it up. But it can be given up by deciding to focus on Krishna through his holy name especially, and practicing those things that increase our absorption in the chanting. Strive to clear anarthas, unwanted things in the heart. Three types of anartha. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Thirst for material things, weakness of heart, and offenses. So we can work on those, and all of these books are available now. You can investigate them. And in this way, we can improve our japa. If our japa improves, everything else improves. Everything starts from there. That's the heart of our sadhana. Okay, any comments or questions? I want to go through the other part of our little presentation here. Bhakti Glenn.
I was thinking about the pronunciation issues. Some of them I can see by looking at them how by carefully reading how you know some of them are corrected.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking there are some of the things that maybe don't show up just in the you know from a simple little book like the prayer book. So is there a source where we can go to get the pronunciations correct?
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to. I mean, in every book. Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam volume, you know, you'll find that pronunciation guide. And it's worth taking the trouble. You know, we're going to talk about this later, about, you know, the wonderful gifts that we've been given. Prabhupada, you know, took so much trouble to provide the synonyms in the transliteration and the translation of purports. And there's a wonderful section, a lecture he gave on the second canto in Japan when he was there with just a few devotees. He stayed there for a couple of weeks after he left L.A. in 71, I think. And he had them memorize each verse. They're going through, I think, the first beginning of the first canto. You know, there's some really important verses there. And after each class, they had to memorize the verse and recite the previous verses. So by the time they got to the seventh class, it took like 3 hours because everybody is reviewing their verses and Prabhupada's correcting them, you know, like that. He really wanted us to take advantage of that opportunity because he understood fully well that the sound itself is so important. There's something in the Sanskrit. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. We don't chant, O energy of the Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O energy of the Lord, O Supreme. You know, the English, it doesn't make it, right? It has to be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So the sound is good. This is Shabda Brahman, the very sound. And then if you know the meaning, that just adds so much. You know, you're absorbed in the sound and it's completely absorbing. So study the pronunciation guide. If you have some problem, you can write me. You know, some of these meters are pretty tricky. You know, I can help you with that if you want. It's a culture. It doesn't come right away. It's a culture of this chanting. But I'm telling you, you know, start with this Gita verses. They're perfect. Pick out some, like this, just today. You know, I like the culture of the, and now I've got a few fellows in San Diego who are, you know, learning shlokas. So it's good to have a partner with us. Nimajo manjatam gore bhavabdo paramayanam. Paramayanam. Santo Brahma Vada, yes, Santo Brahma Vada Shanta. Now Dvidhev Apsu Majjatam. This is what I'm working on. So, what is it? This is a verse about the devotees. It says, for those who are sinking and rising repeatedly in the horrible ocean of birth and death, the supreme shelter are the devotees of the Lord. Those devotees who are knowledgeable of Krishna, Brahma Vada, and Shanta. Shanta means that they're renounced. They're free of material desires. Those devotees are just like a strong boat for someone who's drowning in the ocean. It's a great verse, you know. If you take a few minutes to learn that verse, you have a way of appreciating devotees. Or this beautiful prayer in the Chaitanya Chandramrita. Namas Chaitanya Chandraya. We're talking about offering obeisances. This is all. Namas Chaitanya Chandraya Koti Chandranana Trishe. Premanandabdi Chandraya Charu Chandranshu Hasine. Does anyone know this verse? It's such a sweet verse. So, this is Prabodhananda Saraswati. I offer my humble obeisances unto Chaitanya Chandra, the moon of Chaitanya. Koti Chandranana Trije, his face is just like 10, really like 10 million moons. Now why moons and why not the sun? Because the moon is very soothing to the heart. So we want that moonshine of Lord Chaitanya. Premanandadi Chandraya, he's just like a moon having arisen from the ocean of the bliss of love of God. The moon was, when the churning happened, the moon came out also. And his smile is just like moonshine. What's not to like? Can anyone tell me? So, you know, it takes like 2 minutes to learn that verse, and you can offer it to Lord Chaitanya. And in this way, you know, you cultivate it. And there's literally thousands. We have thousands of verses. The Bhagavatam is filled with shlokas like this. So you read Prabhupada's books and, you know, get a few favors like that. The Mangalacharan from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This will deepen our appreciation for the whole process of devotional service. You know, poetry. It's all poetry, said Bengali and Sanskrit. Okay, we're going to go through real quick here. And this is the Tagore of Ashtaka. And I want to, we're just going to meditate on the meaning of all of these things. And maybe next time we're in Mangalarti. Oh, I'm sorry. Hare Krishna. There we go. Gravashtika? There it is. So, we'll just sing the first one. Sangsara dava nalalidha loka. Why don't we sing in unison? Sangsara dava nalalidha loka. Tranaya karunya ghanaganatvam. Praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya. Vande guru sri charanaravindam. This is great. So everyone knows these pretty well. So, the spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. Just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. So, of course, I think of Srila Prabhupada for this, and we should also think of Srila Prabhupada and our own spiritual master. But the idea here is that when we, this is the first words often, if we're coming to Mangalarti, that we utter in the day. Maybe we chant a couple of rounds before Mangalarti. But what is it, what is this image now? What is actually being said? It's Vishwanath Chakrabarty Thakur's wonderful poem. So he's describing this material life, samsara, as a blazing forest fire. I've never been in a forest fire, but I can imagine it's really frightening. You know, I remember, you remember in the pastimes of Krishna when suddenly a forest fire came up and all the residents of Vrindavan are just crying out to Krishna. There's no shelter. Everything's going to burn up, and you know, unless they get the mercy. So Krishna, he has a special way of doing it. He swallows the forest fire. But generally speaking, your hope is that a cloud burst will come, right? So that's what comes. That's what's come. So in the form of the mercy of the Guru, Krishna's mercy transmitted by the Guru. So, samsara dava, davanala is the forest fire, lidha is, suffering. Loka, all the people are suffering, but tranaya, he is delivering them. Now, we are the fortunate few who are being delivered by this rain of mercy. So when we first sing this, you think of the meaning, and I always say you should feel the heat. You know, this is a fire. The blazing fire burning, you know, this is, and then you should feel such gratitude that, we're being delivered by this karunya ganaganatvam, having the nature, this word, this suffix tvam, of a thick cloud, or a cloud full of water, or full of mercy in this case, of karunya. And that mercy is raining down how? In the form of the words and the teachings and the holy name and everything that Srila Prabhupada has given, and our present gurus are also giving. And praptasya kalyana gunarnabhasya, that he's attained the nature of an ocean. So it's like a cloud and also like an ocean full of good qualities or auspicious qualities. So when we read that, now depending on our ability to focus, what are some of those good qualities? You know, the mind can think very quickly if you're focused. You know, some of the good qualities, think of, you know, I have some images here of Prabhupada. How did he deliver that mercy? By teaching. Right? And here's just showing his merciful glance on the many devotees that are being saved from the forest fire. So my point here is that that your experience in Mangalarti, your meditation, if you will, and this is called Vandanam, we say Vande Guru Sri Charanaravind. So we visualize ourselves, if you will, offering obeisances with our heart, mind, words. Remember that standard that from the Bhagavatam. To Srila Prabhupada for his gift, and he's still giving. The shower of mercy is still coming in the form of the books and his devotees and his temples and everything. So this is the first meditation, if you will. Meditation through vandanam, through offering obeisance. Now remember that vandanam also means glorification, right? We dealt with that the first time. If you look up vandana, you'll find the first definition is to praise and glorify. So offering respects and praise at the same time. Okay, next verse. Now, one thing I always thought about as I meditated on this years ago is that the first verse actually doesn't mention Krishna. It doesn't mention bhakti. It's interesting. But the next verse locks it in. Yes, we're talking, this is Gaudiya Vaishnava. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because that mercy is coming in the form of the Sankirtan movement. Mahaprabho Kirtana Nritya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasora Sena Romanchakam Bhashu Taranga Bhajo Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing and playing musical instruments. The spiritual master is always gladdened by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he is relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind, sometimes his hair stands on end, he feels quivering in his body, and tears flow from his eyes like waves. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So, now it comes, you know, how is that mercy being delivered? By he's delivering the Sankirtan process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the first thing. So, Mahaprabhu, then what is Kirtana, Nritya, Gita, Vaditra? So, he's chanting, you know, and I can remember, and you can have so many pictures, like here's a picture of Srila Prabhupada chanting, you know, he's giving the japa, as well as the Kirtan. It's a beautiful picture. There's so many wonderful ways of meditating. Kirtana and Nritya, there's a wonderful shot I didn't give here of Prabhupada actually dancing in the Rath Yatra. Have you seen that? This is on the DVD. Does some of you have Yadubar's DVDs? I had no idea that there was a video of that. Prabhupada dancing, and the carts have stopped, and Prabhupada comes, and he has this incredible purple dhoti on, and he's dancing in ecstasy, and the devotees are all in ecstasy. And here's the same thing. So, kirtana, nritya, gita, of course, singing and playing musical instruments, the harmonium, the gong, and feeling ecstasy from this and showing the symptoms, you know, of ecstasy. So he's showing us, he's inviting us. You know, you can also participate in this. It's open to everybody. So this is how we should feel. I offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master who are giving this incredible gift from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya. He is the most munificent. He's giving the prema through the process of congregational chanting of the holy name. So that's the second meditation. And then the third, temples. There have to be temples to bring us together so that we can practice all of the process. Shivigrahara dhananityanana Shringaratan mandira marjanado Yuktasya bhaktangs chaniyunjatopi Vande guru shri charanaravindam. So, the spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisance unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So this is a further aspect of the cloud burst of mercy coming down. Because we can't just hear, okay, you go home and chant Hare Krishna. Everybody just chant Hare Krishna. Or Prabhupada said, let me just sit under the tree in Tompkins Square Park forever. You know, no one would come. You know, or he said in Mayapur. You know, we'll be happy sitting here in the hut just chanting Hare Krishna. But what about everybody else? They need the big temple and the beautiful deities and the prasadam, right? And everybody come. And then when they come, they'll hear about Krishna and they'll chant Hare Krishna and become devotees and start new temples. And that's how the movement spreads. So this deity worship is essential for spreading Krishna consciousness in this day and age. And so he does that. Sri Vigraha Aradhana Nityanana. He's always engaged in that, externally and internally. And he himself showed how to worship the deities. He trained up the first pujaris and they in turn trained others. Marginato, keeping it very clean. This is, you know, the main two things of deity worship, cleanliness and punctuality. He taught us all these things. So he's engaged in these things. And Niyunjito, he's engaging his bhaktas or his disciples in these things. So this is the meditation. Vande Guru Sri. I offer my obeisances. I recognize I'm giving my body, mind, and words to the service of the spiritual master, who's Krishna's representative, and teaching these things. So the next meditation, here's Srila Prabhupada, installing the deities in London. You know, he did that sometimes also. Here, that wonderful first, RT at the Krishna Balaram temple. You know, Prabhupada was in ecstasy, such a struggle to get that temple built. I was lucky to be there at the time. It was a huge victory for Srila Prabhupada. And it's going on fabulously today, as you know, the Krishna Balaram temple and many other temples in India expanding. So our next, now is we have the deities, of course, then you have the prasadam. Chaturvidhashi Bhagavat Prasada. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, all together on the third line. Kritvaiva triptim bhajata sadaiva. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. The spiritual master is always offering Krishna four kinds of delicious food, analyzed as that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavat Prasad, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisance to the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So this was another manifestation of the compassion and mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The mass distribution of prasadam. He trained up the first cooks. He taught them how to cook the pakoras and the samosas and the sabjis and the puris and everything else that we know today. And, of course, it was expanded upon. Yamuna Devi, you know, perfected it. And it's big preaching. It's big preaching, you know, that we should appreciate prasad ourselves and also give our prasad widely. It's so attractive. The deity, you know, it's spiritualized food, attracts people to Krishna. So think of the meanings, Chaturvada, Bhagavat Prasad, Swadu, Swadu means sweet, Swadu, Swadu, Pade, you know, the Bhagavatam is sweet at every step. Triptan, who is satisfied? The Hari Bhakta, Sanghan. Here's another pronunciation, notice that H in there. Sanghan, it's not Sanghan. So we have Sangha and Sangha. And you have the association, which is what happens when devotees get together, or anybody gets together, but sadhu sangha, that's what happens. But the sangha is actually the group. That's the association, meaning like an association of mercantile or something, or the society. You see the difference? One is the actual group, and the other is the interchange that happens between them. So this is the sanghan among all the devotees. They're satisfied. Then, kritvaiva triptim, he feels satisfaction. Bhajata means feels, always feeling satisfaction in that way. So study the meaning, and next time we sing it, visualize Prabhupada. What is he doing? He's cooking. He's showing us how to cook and the standards for cooking. And he's distributing prasadam. That's this is famous cookie prasadam distribution in L.A. That's me, by the way, with the peacock fan. That's me in 1975 or 76. You can't see my face, but that's definitely me. Hare Krishna. now that's the preaching. Now the internal aspect of the devotee, of the spiritual master. All together, Shri Radhika Madhavayor Apara Madhurya Lila Gunarupanam Nam Patikshana Swadana Lolupasya Vande Guru Sri Narabindam. The spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radhika and Madhava and their qualities, names, and forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So this is this in the next verse, a very internal aspect, because as I mentioned, there's the internal and the external. So the first four verses about the preaching, is the giving out the mercy. Now what's going on inside the heart of the realized spiritual master. So this constant remembrance of the lila of Radha and Madhava, apara means unlimited madhurya lila, guna rupa nama, the qualities, the forms, the names, at every minute, every second, pratikshana, aswadana lolupasya, means aspiring, greed. This is where greed is good. Not the other greed, that phrase is ruining the world, but actual greed for tasting the service of Radha and Madhava in their highest leela. So the spiritual master is feeling that and aspiring for that, and showing us ultimately we should also aspire for that. He's showing by as an acharya. So we can meditate on that tomorrow when we have Mangalarti. Now here I showed Prabhupada with his books. He was, of course, absorbed in japa. And he manifested these Radha Krishna Leela, you know, through in his books. There's the Krishna book there. Of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita was yet to come. So Prabhupada gave us everything. This is important to accept, that everything is there in his books and in the process that he gave us. If we simply follow it nicely, he will take us back to the spiritual world. And here is also Prabhupada writing his books, by which he revealed all these things to us. And then this one is the really internal, you know, Siddha Sarup. Altogether? Nukunja yuno ratikeli siddhyai yayali bi yukti rapekshaniya tatrati